Marissa Solis, the last time I saw you, we were perhaps dancing.
We were definitely dancing. We were definitely dancing.
Yeah, that was at the Latin Grammys in days gone by. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. Amazing.
It was.
And that was just sort of emblematic of some of the sponsorships that PepsiCo was doing when you were heading up the Hispanic business unit at Pepsi. And now, holy moly, I can't believe you joined me for this, because now you head up Core Brands, Partnerships, and Media at Frito-Lay. Just a little job.
Yes, just a tad bit of a job, yes.
And you found time for me. Thank you.
That's because you rock. You rock.
Or I salsa.
That's true. That is true.
Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is episode 17 of Insider Interviews. As you know, this is a podcast about the media, marketing, and advertising industry, and my guest for this episode does all three of those things. I wish we had hours, but in the next 30 to 40 minutes, Marissa Solis of Frito-Lay is going to talk about how she handles a huge job, which is building the iconic advertising and key business strategies for, oh, some little brands like Doritos, Cheetos, and Tostito brands. She leads all the external partnerships for Frito-Lay North America brands like sports and entertainment. So we're going to chunk it out, as I like to say, when we're talking about salsa and things like that, and see how she does that all. Thanks for listening. I want to talk about three areas, because we're going to keep it to about a half hour. And like we said, it's a big job. So first, I want to hear about what that means, the core brands and what some of their initiatives are. Boy, things have had to change for you in terms of how you're marketing today versus when we were dancing a year ago, and how COVID has probably impacted everyone from how you reach out to consumers, to your retail partners, and I know even your employees. And then one of my favorite areas, because there is a lot of overlap with what you're doing and pivoting with COVID, to cause marketing. And I know that you're really doing a lot of that. And I think that that'll sort of play into the events and partnerships that you deal with too. How's that for a plan?
That sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. Now, before we get into any of that, Marissa Solis, let's talk about you. So I top-lined your job, but what's the snapshot? A day in your life?
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't a day because every day is different. But if you just look at the scope of the role, so Frito-Lay North America, $17 billion snack company, the snack leader. My responsibilities range from brand building of our core brands. So when I say core brands, think of Doritos, Cheetos, Tostitos and Dips, those kind of brands.
I think of them a lot, by the way. I'm just saying.
They're delicious and they're in many, many homes. I'm also responsible not just for each of the brands and telling each of those brand narratives and engaging with consumers, but the portfolio as a whole. So sometimes we communicate to the consumer as Frito-Lay and our entire portfolio is shown. And usually we do this in special occasions, whether it's football, holiday timeframe, summer, because our portfolio is just so rich and we communicate that way. I'm also responsible for media. So all of our media buying and planning and strategy. So everything from linear, digital, audio, social, paid and earned across all of our brands. That's a big part of the job, the analytics piece as well. And then partnerships, right? So our big partnerships like the NFL, our big entertainment partnerships, et cetera. So it keeps me busy, but it's fun. It's extremely fun. I enjoy it very much for sure.
Oh, that's good. And hearing about it, I just want to go take a nap, but okay.
You don't nap. You don't nap much. No. It's highly dynamic. When you're dealing with brands, these are fun brands. I mean, they're brands people love. They're brands that are in culture. So there's nothing boring at all about my job. It's every day. It's fun. It's challenging. So it's great. It's a blessing to have, quite frankly.
And it's relatively new for you, right? When did you move into that role?
Yeah, I started in October. So if you think about the whirlwind I've been in the last, whatever it's been, whatever, 10 months, I don't know. I started in October, and that's when we typically start all of our Super Bowl initiatives. So I was literally working on 5 different Super Bowl projects that take October, November through December. Super Bowl is a big deal for PepsiCo. So obviously that took time. Then we had a fantastic Super Bowl, which seems like forever ago, but it was this year in February in Miami. And then coming out of that, when it was just time for me to really settle into the role and really learn the other parts of the job, COVID hit and everything changed, right? The way we do things. And so it just really truly has been a whirlwind, but really just a great learning experience. And it's been as horrible as COVID has been for everybody. For our industry and for us as marketers, it's really been a bit of a blessing, quite frankly, in terms of it's really spurred a renaissance for us in the way we look at the consumer, in trends, the way we work. I mean, we're just so much more agile and flexible and fast because we have to be, right? So it's just kind of forced, I think, some great changes in the marketing world. And it's really made us think, you know, we don't think because we have to go so quickly, but at the same time, it's really made us think differently about how we go to market and how we reach consumers.
I like that perspective. And I think that as we continue talking and some of the things that I found when I was looking at some of the initiatives on your website and on that social media, I think that that shall be revealed because I have seen some really amazing things. So let's talk about how you're pivoting then specifically in some of the 3 areas that we mentioned. So obviously, you're responding to consumers, but also things have changed in terms of, you know, are people buying at retail? Is it more e-commerce? And then how do you look out for getting product to market? And then what replaces end aisle displays? I don't know. Where do you start?
We always start with the consumer. So first and foremost, really listening, understanding, having that relationship to really know the insights is key. And over time, we learn a lot, right? So as marketers, over years, you start to see trends. The interesting thing is COVID, it wasn't years. It literally was days and weeks that the trends were changing. And so we had to just very quickly observe the marketplace, react to the marketplace. In our industry in particular, we're very fortunate that our industry, and specifically snacks, beverages, it was front and center in terms of the pandemic, right? Because the first thing everybody needed to do was pantry stock. Now you're living at home. And so you're needing to make sure you have the things you need in your pantry or your refrigerator to get you through the long haul of social distancing and quarantining and being at home. So we saw a massive surge in demand for our snacks, partly because A, people were at home, they're cooking more, right? So a lot of our snacks are leveraged in recipes, but also partly because our brands are very familiar, they're well known, they're comforting. And quite frankly, in a time when there was so much uncertainty, our brands provide comfort and just simple joy. And we like to say we bring that kind of daily joy and we bring a smile. And I think that played a lot in those early days. And so that was first and foremost, right? Just the trend of staying home and what that meant for our snacks and different occasions. You asked about the retail landscape. I mean, clearly we saw huge shifts in our business. You know, the food service side of our business, we do a lot of work with restaurants in the entertainment industry, stadiums, movie theaters, airlines, right? That entire side of the industry obviously went into shutdown. And so it impacted our business quite a bit, as it did many other companies in the industry. From a retail perspective, our grocery partners early benefited. Again, it was the kind of this pantry stocking phenomenon that you saw. We have seen a surge in e-commerce for sure, right? I mean, it already was growing pre-COVID, but now whether it's e-grocery, pickup, it's just been a surge. And interestingly enough, during this time, we actually launched a direct-to-consumer business, and we did it in like 30 days. It's called Snacks to You, snacks.com. It's early because it's only been on the market 5 months, but it's been a tremendous learning. And we've been able to increase the variety of snacks that we serve on there. And it's just a great way to, again, create a different way to get to consumers quickly. So that's something that will evolve for sure.
But there's so much in that. First of all, I didn't even think about the ripple effect of theaters and airlines and the snacks that are, you know, ubiquitous there. And then the direct-to-consumer type of, it's snacks.com, right? So that part of it is sort of in keeping with your brand in the marketplace of you're like the biggest direct-to-retail shipper, I believe, of snacks. And then you have a reputation for being able to set up at retail and really leveraging that part of the business. So it makes sense that now you're experts at, so now just send it directly to the consumer. So then that's going to be a ripple effect too. So in terms of the specific brands, can we talk a little bit about the brand position? Because there's such a difference between something like Tostitos and Doritos. I'm really curious about that. And like Doritos, your tagline is sort of that it isn't just a chip, it's fuel for disruption. And everything around the marketing of that is very disruptive. And then Tostitos seems to be about bringing people together.
Absolutely.
Tell me some of the different tactics and how you approach that.
If you think about our portfolio as a whole, right, what Frito-Lay offers, I mean, these are brands that bring joy and smiles every day, right? Their comfort, their fun. The beauty of each brand is that really each brand takes on its own personality, if you will, its own narrative, its own kind of different consumer group, if you will. If you look at what we call our bullseye target for Doritos is, we call that target the hyper lifer, right? It's probably bullseye 18-year-old, so very Gen Z focused. And again, this is somebody who is always used to multitasking, almost a digital native, very active in terms of social media. Self-expression is a really important thing, right? As they're out in the world. And so Doritos is kind of this fuel and it ignites that self-expression, but also in a way that can be disruptive in a good way. So we like to say, take the best of who you are and bring out who you are and really disrupt the world around you in a good way. That's what the brand does, right? It's really a beacon for self-expression, especially among this young audience. And it provides a lot of energy for our narrative. And over the years, it's, you know, manifested itself very differently. Whether it's, we had a program that lasted for a long time that was very successful called Crash the Super Bowl, where we actually ask consumers to create their commercials and we pick the best. And that's the commercial we ran. We ran their commercial. And, you know, if they won the ad meter, they'd get $1 million. I mean, we ran this program for over 10 years. Now it's manifesting itself very differently, but it's still all about self-expression and igniting that self-expression. Tostitos, very different brand, right? This is about who we call the social instigator, right? This is the person who needs the group, needs the gatherings and the get-togethers and kind of that socializing and really gets a lot of energy from that. And Tostitos is that catalyst for all the possibilities that can happen when you bring people together, especially around food and fun, right? So if you think about all the fun recipes you can create, if you're bringing people together to watch the game or book night or whatever it may be, that's really what the brand does. It brings and connects.
I love how you connected unexpected people, like with Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. And
oh, yes.
That was fun.
Very unexpected connection, but it is all about bringing people together. You think about a brand like Cheetos that I love. This is a magical, very culturally iconic brand. There's actually a tribe that lives out there in the real world that is always feeding us ideas because it comes from them. And, you know, this is a very mischievous brand, a very playful brand. It's all about rewriting rules. And again, the tribe that we see, they're the ones that are sprinkling Cheetos in their recipes or the magical dust, which we call Cheetle. You know, they're the ones that discovered the Cheetle on their fingers and what it can do. And all of those things have created kind of this idea of hacking real moments in culture in a very Cheetos way. I don't know if you remember, we did a pop-up restaurant in New York City. I think it was, 3 years ago, the Spotted Cheetah, where every single plate was a Cheetos recipe. We did a fashion show last year. We did a collaboration with Forever 21 and brought to life a whole creation of fashion. And we did a fashion show and it was great. And so it's just a brand that's really moving culture in a really positive way and in really unexpected ways as well. So like I said, it's a lot of fun and we can do it in very different ways depending on our audience.
So this gives me an opportunity to bring up a couple of the things that I saw. And I just want to confirm, you're not going to retire Chester like Mr. Peanut. Please say no.
Chester's a part of the Cheetos brand. So,
okay. You know, my heart can't take that. So this helps me segue to one of the initiatives that I saw tied to COVID. Speaking of dancing, you did Salsa for Cinco.
Yes.
And I loved that. You know that I'm more of a swing dancer, as I think you saw at those Latin Grammys. You're much better than me, but I also love cause marketing. So combining dancing and cause marketing with Mario Lopez.
Yes.
You raised money for the Hispanic community tied to Cinco de Mayo, but because the Hispanic community is disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Yes. Tell me how that was. That was back in May, of course.
Yes. And this was one of my absolute favorite.
Why am I not surprised?
For many reasons, but I was telling you about the renaissance in marketing and in terms of thinking differently. And we plan our initiative so far in advance, right? It takes a lot to plan an initiative, all of the coordination that happens that you need to do to get to the market the right way. So we already had a Cinco de Mayo program that was locked and loaded like in February, right? That was ready to roll to our field organization, to our retailers, right? We had all of the advertising, the POS. And in March, when COVID hit, I mean, there was no way that the brand could put out a message that said, hey, let's all gather together and have a margarita, right? Completely not the right message, not the right time. And so we had to pivot very, very quickly. And, you know, one of the options on the table was, do we just not do anything at all, right? Do we just kind of skip Cinco de Mayo and not do anything given the times? And, you know, Tostitos is a brand. Cinco de Mayo is kind of a key holiday for that brand. But as we thought through it, one of the huge considerations was indeed what the country was going through at the time. And you're absolutely right. The Latino community was disproportionately impacted by COVID. We saw that a lot of the aid that was coming, because there was a lot of aid coming, if you remember at the beginning, it really wasn't being channeled to that community, right? It was very broad. And so we saw an opportunity. And then just what a wonderful idea the team had around salsa for Cinco. And the perfect person that I thought of to pull it off was Mario. And Mario is such a phenomenal individual. And he's really linked to Unidos US, which is the platform and the organization that we supported. And when we told him, hey, we want to do something not only that's fun and brings people together virtually, but that can help our community, he was all in. We did it super fast. We did it through Instagram. And we've never done that kind of event where, you know, it's a live event and you're getting people to come in and they're chiming in and you're chatting live. I was a bit nervous to see how it turned out, but I will tell you, what an awesome day. I don't know if you tuned in, but Mario and his wife were just phenomenal. We had so much fun. People were able to tune in and actually get on camera and you could see them dance. And we donated $5 for every person that tuned into the platform and we over-delivered our goal. I mean, we didn't know. We didn't know if this was something that people were going to tune into. It was kind of new at the time, this whole notion of virtual. I think we're used to it now, but back then it was very new. I loved it. And it was very much in the brand spirit and the brand narrative, but it was also something that benefited the community. we just all felt good about. So it was really good.
Now, another, of course, thing that's on everybody's mind that's also part of what's going on with our culture is Black Lives Matter. And what you've been doing with Doritos also is very, very on brand, but also really strong, really moving. So, you know, I mentioned that the tagline is, or the positioning is, that it's fuel for disruption. But you also write on the site, and I encourage everybody to see this video on the Doritos site, hashtag amplify Black voices. It says that we're a brand known for handing over our platform, and there's never been a community that needs a megaphone more than now. So as part of Amplify Black Voices initiative, you gave your outdoor advertising, billboards, murals to Black artists to use their voice and their talent, as you said earlier about the Doritos brand, to really make that message their own. I love this initiative. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say how proud I was of PepsiCo. Just the immediate, swift response to, you know, what was happening at the time. And our company committed $400 million to recruitment, retention, advancement, the supplier diversity, the community. It's a huge undertaking and a very big public promise and commitment that our company made to the community, which makes me immensely proud. That's on the corporate side. But obviously, on the brand side, I mean, like I said, Doritos is a beacon for self-expression. And so how could we not at this time give a voice to a community that needs it, right? And so it just felt like the right thing to do. We didn't have any creative control in terms of what those artists created in the cities where we went and had those murals. It was really theirs to do. And we did a collaboration with BET for the awards just to call out the attention to amplify Black voices in that movement. And so it's something we're so proud of. And again, it's not a marketing thing. This isn't about the brand, right? It goes beyond the brand, its purpose, and it's really about the community. And so it is something that we are going to do ongoing. So it wasn't a one-time thing. I think ongoing, we're going to have this platform and just really be a place for Black artists to have a platform, a canvas for their messages.
We are recording this at the beginning of September, and coming up is Hispanic Heritage Month. And also on your website, as of now, speaking of community efforts, there is a little teaser that says Frito-Lay will announce our plans to take our community efforts to the next level, coming up pretty soon. Any hint about that?
Yes, I can't really talk specifically about the plans, but what I can tell you is very similar to our commitments to the Black community. We're really looking, again, it is really about everybody and creating an inclusive environment. And so we are really looking to elevate the Latino community, both at a corporate level, from a brand perspective as well. So I can't wait to share those initiatives as they come. Unfortunately, I can't speak to them today. But hey, let's talk at the end of October, I guess, when Hispanic Heritage Month is all over, because I do think you'll definitely see an active presence.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're threading the needle with all of the causes. And there was a recent article in Harvard Business Review about brands needing to walk the talk and ensure that this positioning is, you know, of course, part of the DNA. We always talk about that. What do you advise other brands, other companies about how to ensure that they are walking the talk, that this is not just one-off gestures, that, to use an Oprah-style word, authenticity, and speaking their truth about embracing causes like this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you nailed it. First of all, that article is great because it is about walking the talk. And you have to do it in a way that is very authentic to your brand purpose. So there's a fine line between purpose and cause. And it really isn't about cause. It's not just, hey, let's identify someone and give a bunch of money or do a one-time event and let's pat each other on the back. It really is about living the narrative day in and day out. So if you think about Salsa for Cinco, Tostito's narrative is all about bringing people together in just fun and great ways. And there is a Latino heritage to the brand. So everything felt very authentic, right? Because all we wanted to do was bring people together in a time when they couldn't, bring people together virtually, and then also give to a community that's part of our heritage, right? On the Doritos case, again, Doritos is a beacon for self-expression. So there is no better brand to provide that stage, if you will, and that canvas to a community that needs it. Whether that's the Black community, the Latino community, the Muslim community, any community that needs their voices heard, that's what we want to encourage, right? Self-expression. That really is what it's all about, ingraining that purpose in everything you do and in your everyday.
Does that trickle down to your team, to employees, to the behind the scenes message as well?
Absolutely. I mean, our people are first and foremost. And when I think about the COVID response, the first thing was the health and safety of our people, whether it was our people, you know, in a headquarters location or our people in the front line, taking care of our people, compensating our people if they were out there delivering essential, they're essential workers, right? That's first and foremost. And purpose is really a strong part of PepsiCo and the PepsiCo way. It's all about purpose. It is about giving to our community, supporting the communities that surround us, all of those things, reflecting the communities that surround us. All of those things are super important. And for our people internally to be proud of what they do every day and to come with that purpose is ultimately what it's all about, right? You want to make sure your people are proud of what the company's doing.
Love it. You know, I swear I just remembered this now, and it was actually one of my favorite projects to work on. But years ago, when I was living in Los Angeles, I had the opportunity to freelance for Tracy Locke, you know, one of the PepsiCo agencies at the time, and worked on what was called Pepsi Play Parks. And my job was to go out and identify dilapidated playgrounds in local communities in Southern California, and work with the Hispanic agency as well of record, and work with the mayors and communities to get them cleaned up. And they were redubbed Pepsi Play Parks. I never forgot that until now, that is.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was really a wonderful, heartwarming project. And I think it was my start in cause marketing. But I also really appreciate your shift in terminology between purpose and cause. That's such an important distinction. So I want to get to our third kind of bucket and talk about how you're handling events now. We talked at the top of the show that you and I were dancing together at the Latin Grammys party, which will be forever in my memory. And you have a big history, as you said, of supporting Super Bowls and music. And that's very much a part of the PepsiCo brand as well as Frito-Lay. What do you do? How are you pivoting? And will you still be present in sports that are not necessarily to a full arena? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And we're all learning together as we go. It's not over. We're still learning as the year passes and events get either canceled or rescheduled in a different way. Here's what I'll tell you. At the end of the day, we need to engage with our consumers where they are. We are part of their everyday lives. We are part of their comfort. We bring them joy. And so we've seen a lot of opportunity in the at-home occasion because that's where they are. When you look at the programming and the amount of recipe creation that has happened and just searches of our products along with recipes, that's a trend we didn't see before. And so therefore, we're shifting our focus to recipes. And a fun way of doing recipes, because that's what our consumers are doing. It's interesting, the sports world, right? Because that's just a thing that keeps changing. And as we go globally, we're sponsors of UEFA Champions League, big soccer tournament. That completely changed this year, right? The format, the timing. But even though it was a different way of doing the tournament, it ended up being obviously no spectators in the stadium. Pepsi was still front and center. We still supported the league. We still had our fun advertising because people still tuned in. And by the way, I think in the States, the UCL broadcast was the highest rated that it's ever been. So as you think about from a football perspective, basketball perspective, I mean, people are yearning for these live sports. And even if they're watching at home, the notion of home gating, having kind of that occasion at home is still going to be important. Summer's another, you know, when we start focusing on barbecuing or road trips or things that change significantly, summer's the same, right? The focus is just different. The activity is a little different. You may be barbecuing at home with a lot less people, right?
Yeah.
You're social distancing. But I think for us, the yearning for joy and comfort and fun will always be there. So it's just a matter of pivoting how we show up.
Great. How do you keep up?
How do I keep up?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, well, we did a live Instagram event and you did takeovers and you are involved in events and marketing and media. We didn't even talk about media. Well, you'll have to come back for that. But to me, that's like drinking from a fire hose of trying to stay on top of what's new, what's next. What do you do? How do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to stay connected to the consumer, the world around you, what's going on. So there's a lot of social listening, just being on these platforms, right? You have to be a consumer yourself and really just understand what's happening in the world around you, because a lot of ideas just pop up by you being in it, right? So it is a very important part of just my day-to-day, just making sure you don't get too pulled into the internal piece. You stay abreast of what your consumer is doing. I'm lucky I have a 15-year-old, so she definitely keeps me abreast of what's happening. Make sure I'm still cool and not, you know. So that's a good way to do it. And then you put in all your energy and effort and you just keep going, right?
Yep.
There's no time to stop, really.
Well, thank you for bringing up your daughter, because of course I need to know about you personally. How's your family? I know you're in Texas, but speaking of games and sports, what are you doing at home? For me, it's jigsaw puzzles. It's got to be more exciting for you. What's up these days?
Yeah, you know, it's just been one of these, again, a whirlwind, right? I think when you and I last talked, I was literally 100% travel. I mean, yep. I was traveling every week, everywhere. And being home has been great. Obviously, lots of getting used to from a work perspective, but has just given me a ton of time with my daughter, who's 15 and in that stage of life where lots of things are going on, you know, my husband. So it was great to kind of just quarantine together. We had a ton of fun. We're all very social people. We're all extroverts. So we had a very hard time staying at home. But once things started kind of opening up, we started to have people just social distance dinners. And now we're eating out in outdoor locations. Interestingly enough, my daughter is a soccer player. And so they've been back. They're practicing full on soccer. So far, so good. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. Marissa Solis, I promised that I wouldn't take too much of your time because you don't have much. So I'll let you get back to your daughter, to your family, to learning the latest trend in social media, everything that fills your day. Thank you so much for joining me on Insider Interviews.
Thank you, Evie. It's been a pleasure. And anytime.
Thank you.
I'll come back.
Okay, good. Well, I hope you got some good inside scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. And I also hope that you'll rate, review, subscribe wherever you download your podcasts. You know the drill, Apple, Stitcher, Google, iHeart. Thanks again for listening.